Welcome back into Upon Further Review, and there's a big Big Ten matchup going on in Iowa City. Saturday is number 20. Iowa will host number 9, Oregon. We're talking now Tom Caker at Hawkeye Report. Tom, how's it going today, sir?
It's doing well. Ready for Saturday. It's going to be a huge game.
Absolutely. Big one there in Iowa City on Saturday. And Tom, you look at Iowa's overall season. Right now, they're 6-2. You know, they had the loss to Iowa State early. Had the close loss to Indiana. It feels like a quiet 6-2 mark up to this point.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a quiet. I think Iowa's just kind of made the move in the last month or so. When they've, right after that bye, they lose to Indiana in a close game. They could have potentially won that one, and everybody's kind of just resigned to the fact that all the goals are out of the way, and then you win 3 in a row and 2 of them in very convincing fashion, and now you're like, okay, now we're kind of back in this thing. And if you can, ifs and buts, but if you can run the table based on where they're ranked this week, number 20 in the college football playoff poll, then you're going to be in the mix to make the college football playoff. Now, easier said than done, but it's still out there.
Right, yeah, they're one of 6 teams with either, no Big Ten losses or 1 Big Ten loss, and you've got Oregon coming up this week, and then USC the week after as well. So, going to, like you said, easier said than done, but a chance to notch some wins. Tom, I guess let's go, from the Indiana game on, because I think we talked maybe around the time of the Indiana game. They blow out a Wisconsin team that's been reeling. They beat a Penn State team who had just fired James Franklin, and then they roll past a Minnesota team that was coming off of a nice win over Nebraska, if I remember correctly. I guess just speak to kind of what you've seen, from Iowa the last 3 weeks. It's got them quietly at 6-2.
I think there's a couple of things. One, on the defensive side, I just think they're tackling better. They're flying to the football better. They're just getting after it. And you can see that now it's starting to result in more turnovers. They've had several more interceptions and forced fumbles and et cetera. And just, I think they're just more focused on defense, and they're just getting to the football, rallying to the ball better. Xavier Wampa has been playing his best football. Just overall improvement there. And on the offensive side, I think, Gronowski's getting healthier after the knee issue against Indiana. He was a little tentative against Wisconsin, but then, you saw the 67, 68-yard run, whatever, against, the long runs against Penn State and what he's able to do. So there's been some good developments on offense. Run game looks pretty good, very solid. So they're built around the offensive line. And then on special teams, Caden Legion just keeps making plays. Every game he seems to make a huge play, be it, running one back for a touchdown or just putting them in good position to get points on the board. So it's all 3 phases working together.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Mark Gronowski a little bit here. You mentioned he had the injury early on in the season, seems to be getting healthy. And he's probably never a guy, definitely in Iowa's offense, that's going to go and put up gaudy numbers, right? But it seems like he's kind of done what's been asked of him.
Yeah, he's managing the game really well and getting Iowa into what they need to get into. And he gives them that dimension where he can still go get you 3-4 yards on a 3rd down to keep a drive going, to move the sticks. And even though he's wearing the bulky brace again after he'd taken that off after week 1, I think he's just a competitor. He's a gamer. He's going to get out there and he's going to play hard, and he's got some toughness to him. He's got good size. He's kind of, some people compared him to like a Tim Tebow out there a little bit, and probably is not too far off just in terms of physicality that he plays with. So he's doing a really nice job, and just he's not going to put up 400 yards passing, and he's not going to do flashy things, but he's just being efficient and keeping Iowa on schedule.
Again, we're talking all things Iowa football. Tom Caker of Hawkeye Report, and Tom, while we're at it, let's talk about Caden Weechen, because I'm always in favor of talking about him. I've been on his bandwagon kind of early on. I'll admit I didn't see him maybe being the threat in special teams that it would be, he's been, and it's kind of surprised me that teams keep kicking to him. I'm just curious. I know you've been around a long time and seen a lot of Iowa football over the years. You know, the comparison that gets thrown around is Tim Dwight. I'm not old enough to have seen Tim Dwight in his prime. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair, and Tim would tell you it's fair. He's just he's maybe not as super explosive. I mean, Tim Dwight was like he was shot out of a cannon when he, you know, got his full head of steam. But, you know, there was a video a couple weeks ago, his last, you know, where he's getting up to 20 miles an hour running football. That's just crazy. So he's doing really well, and I think he's right there with the greats, with Tim Dwight, just based on production and based on how he plays, which is just, he's just going to go 100 miles an hour as fast as he can, and he's not going to worry about anything. He's playing with reckless abandon.
Yeah, fun to watch. And like I said, I would not kick Tim if I was on the other side. Now looking to Saturday, Oregon comes to town. Obviously a big opportunity for Iowa, you know, to notch a big Big Ten win and stay afloat in the race for the Big Ten title. Oregon's really good, right? And they've got dudes, and they've used their resources to put together a phenomenal team. What is the biggest challenge that Oregon presents to Iowa?
Their explosiveness. They can pull off explosive plays at the drop of a hat. There's a lot of movement at the line of scrimmage. They try to get your eyes moving to different places, and then they launch those explosive plays, and they've got some really explosive plays. DeCorian Moore, the freshman wide receiver, Sadiq, the tight end. Dante Moore is going to be a first-round pick potentially this year as a quarterback. They're a really explosive athletic team. They've got probably a couple of offensive linemen that are going to be high NFL draft picks as well. So it's Oregon, but they run the ball too. They're really good with running the football this year. They've got three backs that that are really making things happen. So Iowa's going to have their hands full, but make no mistake. I mean, this team is super explosive. But the key is Phil Parker does not want to give up more than two explosive plays. Those are plays over 25 yards. If they do that, keep them under two or less, Iowa's got a great shot at winning this game.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but I keep seeing things pop up on my timeline of the I think it was the 2017 Ohio State game where they came to town, and, you know, kind of a similar team where they had explosive athletes across the board and just got thumped. And I don't think that's going to happen by any means, but there's always a path, right, Tom? So what does an Iowa path to victory have to look like there on Saturday?
You know, the weather might help this week.
That is true.
It's supposed to be cold, windy, not that it doesn't get cold. It gets cold, windy, and rains in Eugene, too. So they're going to be familiar with that. That lends itself to a lower scoring game. I think the Oregon-Wisconsin game was also played in some cold, rainy conditions out in Eugene. So, and that was, you know, a lower scoring game than you would expected. So, I think that's going to be part of it. I think Iowa's just going to kind of try and play their game of field position and just try to force, you know, Dante Moore is still a younger quarterback, and he hasn't played in a lot of tough road environments other than, you know, he did play really well at Penn State. I'll say that. And that's as tough an environment with that whiteout. So he's in there, but Kinnick can be a different animal, and Phil Parker can be a different animal. And I think he's going to try and force him into some mistakes on Saturday afternoon.
Do you have a prediction or outlook on this game, so to speak?
I'm going to predict it's 20-17 Iowa. That's going to be my prediction. Don't have a ton of confidence in it, but it seems like this is just primed up for, you know, Kirk Ferentz is 5-1 against top 5 or top 10 teams, I think, since like 2016 at Kinnick, something like that. So, I mean, he's got some good pelts under him, you know, in terms of big wins in these situations. So, he's Mr. November. So we'll see if he can continue that streak on Saturday.
Yeah, it seems like about once every 3 or 4 years, a highly, highly ranked team comes to Kinnick, whether that be like Michigan in 2016, Ohio State in 2017, Penn State in 2021, and wins, Iowa wins, and then the next week is a letdown. Kind of moving on to the next part of that, Tom. I mean, then you get USC the following week. As I touched on earlier, this is a big, big chance for Iowa over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, because if you win these two games, you got Michigan State who's struggling, and you've got a Nebraska team that's going to be without Dylan Raiola the rest of the year. So even though they're playing in Lincoln, it's still a different Nebraska team without their star quarterback. So it is it's right there. If Iowa can somehow win two games against the old Pac-12, they can kind of put themselves in position for a true November to remember for Iowa football.
It'll be fun to follow there Saturday. Tom Cakert, Hawkeye Report, talking Iowa football as they get ready to face Oregon. Tom, appreciate the time today and enjoy the fun there Saturday.
All right. Thanks for having me on.